Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Together with Demian van Melkert, we are pleased to welcome you to This Week in Testing. It is in episode 96. And This Week in Testing is official Ministry of Testing event where we can talk to each other, we can share findings, insight, or talk anything related to testing and around testing. So welcome everybody to this event.
I'm sure it's been a busy week in testing for everyone, and we can't wait to hear about everything. I can tell you the craziness all year round, I'm sure, with testers. But there's so much happened this week. I saw that yesterday they were four live, like in-person meetups happening all over the world. There were 600 p testers meeting in person at the same time. It was amazing. I'm sure if you went to one of them, come on stage later on and tell me about it. I would love to hear what all was discussed, what happened there. If it were indeed 600 people, did some of you count how many were there on your event? Let us know.
Yes, it is really interesting to see the feedback and any feedback about these meetups, because any offline meetup right now is a really like precious, because you can't talk to real people. Of course, online it's totally okay and we are working remotely, but talking to real people is much, much better in my opinion. So if you have any insights, just in, I think, in 5 or 10 minutes, you can just click on the button with the hand and we will put you on stage. Just in case, it is better to connect in terms of audio. It is better to connect via web browser or via Chrome using your phone, because it's like battle-tested approaches. So try to not use mobile phone for connecting, or maybe the bugs are fixed. We don't know.
We
So,
test it every episode, so just try it out if you want.
yes, we are testing it live every Friday. So, before we will go straight ahead to the talking, any news or any news in from Ministry of Testing or any news from your personal experience? So, what's happening this week, Demi?
What is happening this week? So much, of course. No, this week I have gotten a senior test automator on board in my team. So we're gonna start test automating finally on the projects I work on. So we don't really have that at the moment. So I'm very excited. So I'm just gonna learn all I can from him. I'm gonna try and do test automation myself. So this is the start of a whole new adventure. It's another first. So lots of fun, of course. What else is going on? It is prep. We are preparing at the moment for starting new projects. So we have one ongoing mo project at the moment, and in for the next sprint, we are gonna have two new ones starting at the same time. So we are busy
Wow.
preparing for everything. And while all that is going on, I am a community lead for my department for the testers. So I am preparing a session for the next month about accessibility testing, as that isn't really known in my department a lot. So it's one of those topics you don't know what you don't know that we're gonna start doing. So as always, it is very busy at the job, at my work. I'm keeping it busy, it seems almost, but it's lots of fun.
Yeah, so much interesting news from you. So I think starting a new automation project is always exciting because nothing is really here and it is really easy to see the output or the results from automation straight ahead just by adding a few libraries, a few things, and you just can see these automated tests. So from the start, it's really easier rather than doing it when you have a lot of different tests and libraries. And I think accessibility testing is also exciting topic because it is not, I think it even in the communities, it is not so widespread in terms of talks. So I think this information should be spread across more people because we are continue neglecting in our products the accessibility features. And we as testers, we need to raise the flag and be aware of it and to include it into our day-to-day testing activities. And one thing that I want to add, or maybe a few things related to the updates from the Ministry of Testing Club and the community itself. So first of all, I want to encourage people to check out a new article from Rafaela Azevedo. It just released, I think, this week. The article is about testing AI-coded apps. I think it's really exciting and hype topic. So just read it and share your experiences with any kind of AI-coded testing. And from other things that I want to mention here is on the forum on Ministry Testing Club, Rosie Sherry started a very nice topic about our secondary specialization. So do we have any secondary specialization rather than just testing? And I think it's a very important topic because testing is the thing that we are doing and we love to do. But the more we work in testing, the more opportunities arise around combining things and combining specialties. And I think every person can find something interesting, not only automation, because automation is like a very straightforward path, but except of automation, there are a lot of different fields that we can grow and we can find some information, and then we can make our testing even better. So please check out this topic. If you have any secondary specialization, just write about it and share your experiences. Okay, anything
In the meanwhile,
else?
while we were talking, Simon has been dropping links in the chat about everything, all the things we mentioned. For the people listening to the podcast recording afterwards, you'll have to go look for it yourself on the MOT website. But there are links to, there's a collection for starting test automation that you can go check out. They have a foundation certificate in test automation here at MOT as well. So that's also a cool one to go take a look at. Of course, a link to the article and that you mentioned and the club post. So maybe we can take one of those as a discussion for today. Maybe we'll see who joins the stage, what we'll get into. Apparently, there
Yes,
is
totally.
a collection on test automation that has 102 items. I don't know how that's massive. I'm thinking that the collection is trying to get up to the 404 or something like that. But it looks all amazing. Thanks for dropping those links, Simon. And I see also some hints being dropped of maybe getting Emily on stage because it seems she has a secret to share. She was also a
Wow.
speaker at one of the MOT meetups yesterday, so I'm excited to hear more about that. So Emily, if you want, do come on stage and share the secrets. I would love to. So yeah. So Alexander, is there anything else of news that you have to share, or shall we start inviting people on
Yeah,
this?
we can start inviting people on stage. I think that's it. Just want to remember that it is an official Ministry of Testing event, so please be aware of code of conduct, and you can check it on the official website at the bottom of the page and by the code of conduct link. Yep, let's start. So if you want to join us on stage and share your insights or your secrets, just click the hand button and just turn off. Do not forget to turn off your camera. It's an audio event. So, yeah, we are waiting for you to just join us. Do not hesitate to do it. Okay. Can you see somebody? Or we can just share something else, I think.
Yes. I saw, Alexander, that you shared a link also on LinkedIn about generalist experts. And I saw the topic and I was like, that almost seems like a contradiction. I need to know more now.
Oh,
You
no.
maybe can explain a bit.
It's not a contradiction. It's like just a recent blog post that was just released at the ThoughtWorks company blog. It's called Expert Generalists, and it describes, I can't say that it is a new approach, but it's like something that has not been mentioned yet. So it is an approach to how we can grow ourselves as an engineers and as a specialists. So at first it was, so when anybody is starting in the field, so we have an options. So one option is to get a deep knowledge in one field. The second option is to become a T-shaped specialist, where you have a broad knowledge in many topics and one like deep knowledge in one topic. And it worked up sometime recently, but in the age of LLMs and AI and all of these modern technologies, like the authors of this blog post proposes the different approach to become expert generalist. So what does it mean is to have a solid foundation of the skills, like engineering foundation. So for example, computer science foundation, or knowing how technologies works, and especially knowing how, like knowing and recognizing the patterns of things that is happening. It's not only like the design patterns in programming, but patterns in automation, patterns in behavior of the people in the team. And with that thing, we can easily transfer from one technology stack to another. So this is not like the essence of expert generalist. So you can use your knowledge to, for example, to work on the stack with some web technologies and then switch to the stack on the backend side. Of course, it will not be like without challenges, but when you have foundational knowledge, you can do useful things just from the day one because you have experience. So this is like the essence of the expert generalist.
That was an amazing explanation. I think a lot of people can relate to that, like being a generalist, special expert almost. But I see we've got some hands raised. So
Yeah.
let's get people on stage, maybe asking them how their week's been, if they are a generalist or a specialist, what their secrets are.
Yeah, we can start with Emily and then Ollie.
Yes, and I also saw another person, I think Georges, but he it's one of the recurring bugs of Crowdcast that he's somehow not in the live audience, which is very weird. But let's get
Yeah.
Emily on stage. Hello, Emily. How's your week in testing?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Oh, perfect. Cool. If you want to invite Ollie to the stage at the same time, that's cool with me. My week in testing has been really good. So I'll start with this secret as you've been referring it to. Obviously, the Ministry of Testing team are constantly releasing new features and making them available to professional members and then a subset of those features available to club members and free members. So this week I was clicking around on the site, looking at people's profiles and how their badges and achievements and community stars appeared. And I was reading up on AD Stokes's community stars that he'd received, and I saw the ability to give a community star to him myself. So this is a feature that is available to professional members. And basically there's a massive drop down of all the reasons why you might be able to receive a community star. And then I was asked to provide a description of why I was awarding that star, basically. So he was my first introduction.
Wow.
Sorry
Well,
about
it
that.
is.
He was
Yeah.
my first introduction to Ministry of Testing, as he runs my local meetup in Leeds. And Yeah, obviously he's a really vocal member of the community and is always promoting, yeah, getting involved in the community and accessibility testing and those sorts of things. So that is why I awarded him a star, to just, yeah, say thank you for introducing me to this group.
Great, great. And the biggest surprise for me is that this feature exists so we can award each other with stars. I think it's a very nice feature because it's like it gives you an opportunity to say thanks in the form of these stars to the person who helps you or who, yeah, generally helps you or shared something very insightful for you. So yeah, I think that's the feature that we need to use, and it should be advertised even more.
Rosie's just put in the channel that she was impressed that I discovered it. What I'm really curious about, and I don't know if Simon knows the answer to this, is how long has it been a feature? How long has it been waiting there undiscovered?
Maybe it was a bug that becomes a feature. Like some features can be.
Don't get me wrong, I did raise a bug with it immediately.
Yeah, and as Rosie answers, this feature is available for 2 hours. So it's like freshly baked feature that we can use. So we encourage everybody to use it if you're a professional member of Ministry of Testing.
But now that we know that there's just hidden things waiting to be found on the site.
Yeah, I noticed that lately that they've been like changing small things and are like, did anyone notice? It's very funny. It's almost a treasure hunt that you don't know you're in. But
yeah, it's
I don't know if
discovery.
I don't know if either of you saw, but maybe a week or two ago, I did a spot the difference of my profile, and I submitted this as a memory. And I know there's been talk about turning memories into more of a social feed where you can comment on or reply to things that have been shared in a memory. But I do need to get around to providing another one with the answers, because as far as I know, even though it was shared on LinkedIn, nobody's yet found all the differences in my image.
Yeah, that's also an interesting that we get these features and we need to discover it.
I think Rosie was going to join in and talk about maybe what's coming up.
Yeah, I think we can get Rosie and Ollie at once on stage.
Yes, more people on stage. We want more secrets.
Yeah, because this is like a most incredible secret from Emily.
Yes, Emily, now you set the theme for the episode. It's now our secrets in testing for this week.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can.
The other thing I was going to mention while you're just getting them onto stage is a recent addition to link your club profile with your Ministry of Testing profile. So it's now really easy to go back and forth between the two. And that's represented in the planet icon.
Wow. I didn't know about it. Okay, we have Rosie on stage. Hi, Rosie.
Hello.
So how is your weekend testing and
how
releasing
many secrets
features?
Have you hidden from us? No. Just share whatever you want. It don't have to be secrets. But yeah.
So many secrets. So many secrets. And so many bugs as well to be found. What's the difference between a bug and a secret? That's interesting. I think
Gary has accepted it as a challenge for this afternoon to see all the secrets and bugs he can find. So prepare yourself, I would say.
Yeah. But yeah, secrets. What a secret. So I guess what Emily was saying, we're making the transition to use memories as more microblogging social media. So that's not such a secret, but I guess it takes a bit of education and posting of content to show people that this is how we're using it. But there's also like a transition, and because we're a small team, basically just trying to ship stuff in iteration. With microblogging, really you need feeds and really you need to be able to follow people. So we've been slowly shipping out these, or maybe not so slowly, we've been shipping out these features to work towards that. So you can now follow people. That's been around probably for 2 or 3 weeks now. Andrew shipped that right before he went on holiday, and then we couldn't ship any new features whilst he was on holiday. So we were just using the feature, and now that he's back, he's back to looking at like a feed page, a feed view is one of the things. And what else? Commenting is another thing, or memories that's been asked for. So that's also coming shortly, because we feel like people want to, there's this real urge that it's like you see a memory and you want to comment and celebrate it, but there's no way to do that yet. And so that's going to come in a very MVP kind of way. We're trying to keep it as simple as possible, so don't expect anything too fancy. Another thing we're working on is a jobs board to simplify that. It feels overly complex, and the way people are sharing jobs at the moment is we feel a kind of change. Like a lot of the time it's actually members of the community discovering jobs that they want to share. And at the moment the form feels too long to fill in, and you have to upload an image and stuff like that. It's a bit tedious. I did it the other week and I was like, oh, this is a bit much. So we're going to simplify that, and it's going to be more about posting a link to the job. So we've got the minimal amount of effort, minimal amount of fields intentionally, just to try to encourage people to post jobs. And really it's just, we're trying to help people find opportunities that they might miss. And yeah, salaries database is actually another one that Emily mentioned. We announced that in, again, a very minimal form of, there's a form that people can fill in to share their salaries. And Andrew currently has it on his list to actually make that, the data from the salaries available immediately for pro members. And so you can see them coming in. I've been watching some of the data come in. We've got about 200 entries so far. And it's just really, really interesting to see that data, to see the locations, the industries, the huge variance of salaries as well. And then in time, we'll analyze that data and create a report on that data. But that's probably like more like an annual analysis. But we feel like the individual bits of data are also super interesting. And that will be available to pro members. But yeah, that's the current stuff. And then the next, those are like the small secrets, I guess. The little things, I would class them as small secrets. Yeah, the big assignment, I was about to go on to the big secret, is the next big thing we're going to focus on is company pages. So just like, and LinkedIn, you can have a company page. We're going to work on that concept for the Motiverse, where companies can have a company page that people can follow. And then we'll be connecting, we're not quite sure how yet, but we'll be connecting member profiles to company profiles. So that this teams aspect and connecting the content that and contributions that people within teams make, connecting that to the company page as well. So in time, people will be able to see like how testing is done in a certain company, because people have been contributing along the way of how they do testing, shifting some of our content, like the leading with quality conversations. We're very much trying to speak to people in companies about how they lead with quality, and then that will eventually be connected up with company pages as well. So it gives like a good educational insight into how quality and testing is actually done. And yes, another reason to sponsor Test Bash. We've been calling, we've been trying to speak to some companies, and we've been trying to encourage people to, or encourage them to see the idea of building their following in the metaverse, to not necessarily build it on other social platforms. Yeah, of course it can do that, but we're really trying to build something valuable for companies with a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, all community driven. And see, we call it MEO. One of the things we communicate it is as MEO, which is Metaverse Engine Optimization, instead of search engine optimization, or even social media optimization. It's like they can do that in the Metaverse as well. So yeah, that's the language that I'm trying to use to speak to companies and people about what we're trying to do. That's my summary, secret summary.
Wow, wow, so much new features, and it looks like MOT becomes not only like a social network for testers, but also community network for testers. Where you can do, you can connect, you can share your valuable knowledge, and you can get recognized. And yeah. I think that's a wonderful thing. And we miss this thing for a long time. I am really happy that it's happening.
Yeah, I just saw a post in the club about it, about a person asking those internal testing teams, they don't seem to seek any new knowledge or build any community. So if they were able to do something like this, I think that would be massive progress.
Yeah. Simon recommended a book to me a while back, Moral Ambition. And within the book, it mentions that it was talking about World War II and what made a change for people to actually take action to support Jews, for example, in hiding. And then, like, from their research, they discovered that actually the biggest factor that they could pin it down to was that someone was asked to help a Jew. They were like literally like face to face asked, say, can you help them, right? Like directly, it's like to take action. And that point has stuck with me. And that has been, especially in the past year, what we've been trying to do better is we've literally just been asking people to do more at MOT, just inviting people. We call it always be inviting. It's the terminology that we use internally. And Simon and I are definitely just been more proactive with that. And like even at meetups last night, we were just inviting people to, I can't remember a name off the top of my head because my brain is old, but we were like, yeah, you should come and do this conversation. And she was like, yes. And people generally say yes when they're asked. And so that's something that we're trying to get better as a team at, and bringing in new voices as well, and doing a lot of outreach to companies. But yeah, what one final point, like community stars, I'm really excited for it. Imagine, for example, like meetups yesterday, that you see someone speak and you appreciate that someone's spoken, or whatever that person has said has resonated with you. Then you can just go to their MOT profile and just say thank you. Thank you for doing that talk. And then that person gets a notification about that star, and their star count increases by one. And it's that, just that gift of giving. It's like Simon and I and the team have been experiencing that for the past few months. And it's literally like an antidepressant, being able to support people in such a positive way. And if we're then enabling other members to do that, we hope that will just amplify in so many ways. But yeah, if you're feeling down, find a reason to give someone a community star, and it will automatically help you feel better.
That is amazing. Now, I'm sure there's lots more to say about it, but I see that Ollie already had to drop off before he could join on stage. So maybe we should get some more people on stage to share their week and maybe join in about all the secrets that the Metaverse hides. Let's see who we got here with their hands raised.
We have Jesse.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm on my lunch hour. Thought I would join in. Great to be on the 96th episode?
Yes, I believe so.
At least
yes,
I was...
yes.
That's what I was mentioning at the start. Yeah, my week in testing, actually, the great excitement was going to MOT London meetup yesterday. Yes, work is exciting, but I think just being a part of the community and seeing it from a different lens or a different perspective of the Motiverse, you could have one slice of it. So this was an opportunity to see it from London's perspective, which I found was really excellent. The talks were great and just the openness of community. It's interesting, Rosie talked about that issue of rewarding people and it almost being an antidote to depression, because you could very much be in your little testing bubble and not realize there are many others who are in the same domain as you, championing the same values and ethics, or even just the testing craft in the same process of development. So, yeah, it was good to just be in that space and catch up with folks you've may have probably only known as an online presence. And, yeah, see them, interact with them, get to know them a bit better. So, yeah, that's how it went for me, at least, in a very short, succinct way.
Wonderful. And I think at these meetups, you are basically forming a very valuable connections, and it is like a form of networking. So people, you get to know their experiences in different companies. And yeah, it's always eye-opening on how people basically test in different companies, because when a person works in one company for a long time, and especially if a person do not attend such meetups, yeah, as you just mentioned, it can be a bubble. And the only way how we can progress in our careers is just to get out from the bubble and encounter new people with their perspectives. And that's the best possible thing that we can do. And forum and meetups and the whole website and Test Bash conference, it's like a nice places where you can get to know what's happening in the testing world worldwide.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm actually fighting against that very thing inside of my team, where I think we're comfortable in what we do, but the relational aspect across the testing space, I think there is more to discover inside of that. So if you ask me what a test engineer is, really, it goes beyond just the craft, but there's a relational component so that you don't become, I'm trying to think of the best way of expressing it, you don't become isolated in your own domain, but you almost become wide inside of the knowledge of the various domains that there are. And that could only come from going to meetups, interacting with people, possibly getting over anxiety of large crowds, or persevering through delayed and derailed trains like yesterday. Me a while to get to there, if I'm honest. There was a 50-50 moment of thinking, am I going to make it or not? Or if I do get there, I can't come back home. But yeah, and it was like, oh, this was worth it, persevering through the various challenges in London at the time. But yeah, really excellent time. Good to see Simon and Rosie and others who, funny enough, you met at different conferences and then you realize, oh, you're here. Or meeting Natalie and stuff like that. So yeah, just echoing your point, really.
Yeah, that's great. And from my side, as we are talking about secrets, I can talk that the biggest secret that I have in terms of conferences or meetups is that the best information or insights you will get not even from the public talks, but from talking to other people during the conference or during the meetup or afterwards. So these are the best moments from going to conferences, to any offline meetups, because you get so much motivated and excited about what's happening, and in most cases you will work better, because you see that there are a lot of people, motivated people around, and they all drive the whole industry testing, they drive testing ahead. So that's the biggest secret. What about you, Demi? Do you have any insight or secret to share?
Do I have any insider secrets? Well, let's see. The last time I went to a meetup here in Belgium, I struck up a conversation with a guy and we figured out that we actually work at the same company, but in a different department, and we had never met each other. But then yesterday we had a meeting again to see if we can maybe expand the community, the testing communities of our departments, to maybe make one for the entire company, a big testing community for all of us, so we could share some more and learn from each other. Because the biggest obstacle that we had a bit with our communities was there are only so many people that you can find that know something to share, it seems, or that want to share or have some new ideas that other people haven't started with yet. So they listened to the topics I was doing in my community and were like, Demi, that sounds amazing. Can't you come do it in our community as well? And so we were like, maybe we should get just a community for all the testers in the company for those topics that everyone could learn from, because there's so much going on. There's so much to learn, but not everyone is aware of what there is to learn, feels confident enough to share it with everyone. So yeah, that was a very funny meeting in a random meetup and learning we actually just were colleagues.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting thing here is how can we encourage people to share their knowledge in the form of, even in the form of small talk, 404 talk, or sharing it as an article or something. So how can we make this first time experience less stressful, because it is stressful in some point of time, especially when you do public talk. But actually, I know a lot of people with amazing knowledge. They can talk about things for hours, but when it goes to the public speech, it is hard. So yeah, how can we do it? Maybe someone has some advice or some thought about it.
I'm happy to comment on. Go ahead, Rosie.
Okay. MOT, we try to design for all different types of contributions intentionally. So at the very lowest level, perhaps as participating in the side chat here or posting a memory. And then we try to introduce things that are a little bit bigger. I think doing talks, you can do short talks on the recorded talks on the platform, but you can do longer talks. Then at meetups or at conferences, there's an option to do in-person talks. But then a smaller step towards that is the 99-second talks, which are intimidating, but a lot of people who do that get a real taste for what it is to speak in public. And a lot of those people end up finding new opportunities to speak elsewhere because they've found that bit of confidence to do something else. There's also the idea of one-to-one conversations, recorded conversations that have gone quite well as well. I'm a person who just most of the time I just cannot do group conversations. So even like at meetups and stuff, like following group conversations or even meetings, it's something that I've struggled with, mostly down to neurodiversity kind of things. So, but put me one-to-one with someone and I could talk all day, especially on the topic that I know something about. And it's also like a one-to-one conversation kind of, it brings connection to two people and it allows people to explore things in a way that perhaps a talk wouldn't have gone. But yeah, the summary of that is not to overvalue one type of contribution, which people tend to overvalue, like doing a talk at conferences as the only way to contribute. But actually, there's many different levels, and the common sense way is to build yourself up and find that confidence to do one little thing and then build upon that.
Wonderful, wonderful Thanks a lot. And Jesse, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, really echo what Rosie has mentioned. I think, so I'll probably speak from a personal example. I'm not originally British. I'm actually from Trinidad and Tobago. So I unfortunately do not really understand accents really well. So sometimes that can be intimidating. And so one of the things I did was on a personal journey, actually go through a communications champion course that my company was offering so that I could effectively communicate my thoughts or just various ways or methods of doing that. And so it's been a brilliant process to understand how to do that more effectively with others. The other thought I had as well was, it almost starts with understanding that you have a valuable bit of contribution to this person you're about to interact with. And I think sometimes we may sell ourselves short because we either could be comparing ourselves to the person, quite possibly might be intimidated by the title, or for instance, yeah, you probably haven't thought through carefully what you're about to do. And so I think it does require, yes, putting yourself out there. So for instance, I have had to work on that by delivering workshops from an experience standpoint. So instead of talking from a technical bit of knowledge, share story, and from sharing the story, develop that into a workshop so that it's translated in that form. I actually learned that from Ministry of Testing and Test Bash. They were describing, I can't remember what the activity was. I think Karen, who tests stuff, is her name. And she said the best way to get people engaged is to tell a story. And so I told a story about how I moved projects and the feeling that it had with it, the nuances with it, what it felt like starting in a new team. But did that in a workshop style where people had to basically build the Lego and build upon each other's work, that kind of thing. So for me, I started to think through ways of communicating in that manner so that it becomes more relatable for people. So that's how I've used it to my benefit, really. Yes, Emily, that's correct. Karen and Willen did that workshop. That's actually what sparked the thought about helping my ability to communicate properly to other people. Or effectively, rather, not properly. But yeah, that's how I've done it, at least.
Well, I think that's a very valuable advice to anybody who wants to start to share their knowledge and to talk. Because, yeah, it can be quite hard. But I think the biggest or the best public speeches that I remember, they contain stories of some sort of. So the storytelling is very valuable. And I can remember that it is a community and even a podcast. It's called Moth Community. And it is a series of events, just like a stand-up, but instead of just focusing on humor, they are sharing stories. So you can go there and share your story. It can be funny story, it can be not so funny, or some dramatic story, but in that case you can listen to other people on how to do storytelling well. And it can be interesting to see. And if you are doing workshops or doing public speeches, it can be useful, in my opinion. I think I will share the link to the events or to the podcast in the chat. Okay, I think we are getting to the end of this episode. Just Demi or Rosie, if you have anything to add in terms of secrets or to advise why you need to keep secrets or share secrets, just tell us about this.
Let's see.
Oh, hello?
I think I've shared all my secrets.
You'll have to find some more for the next episode in This Week in Secrets.
Yes, yes.
Twist. No. Oh, a twist this week.
Interesting. Ooh.
Yeah. How can we understand whether this secret was to be a secret or not? Or how you define a secret? That's another question. Because, yeah, it's also a different part of story and everything goes to the entropy. Okay, we have also Sarah who wants to join. Sarah, please let me put you on stage. Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Sarah, hi.
Please give us the closing remarks on this weekend testing.
Yes.
Oh, now I have a lot of pressure.
I'm sorry.
No,
you can
pressure.
Share whatever you want. It's okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. It's not really a secret, but I'm excited to say that I, after 6 years at my current job, I'm moving on to a new role, which is really exciting. Obviously, the secret part is that I have been interviewing and haven't been talking about it too widely yet, but I'm happy to share this secret with you guys.
That is wow. Amazing. Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you. Very excited. And I will update it more publicly soon. But yeah, very excited to be moving on and trying something different for a while. Yeah. Don't know about anyone else, but I tend to move around quite quickly from job to job, like a couple of years. And then I'm like, okay, I want something new. But I've been in this current role for 6 years. So for me, it's a really long time. But yeah, looking forward to some change coming up.
Great, great. Congratulations with your new job. And yeah, I think that's it for this weekend testing. Thank you to everybody who joined us on stage, who joined us in chat, and who will listen to our recording of this event. And see you, or we will hear each other next week in the next episode.
Thank you, everyone.